Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They of course have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
Hello there, I'm Ryan Key.
Hey everyone, this is Nick Gambarian.
This ain't a scene, it's a goddang podcast. This is Mike Forrester. What up, dudes?
Well played, sir.
Uh-huh.
Locked and loaded.
All night.
Mike Locked and Loaded Forrester.
He had that one on deck, for sure.
Oh man, you should wait and see the ones I got. We're ready.
Oh, here we go. You've been thinking about it all day, huh?
All day.
There's notes for the show, and then Mike has his own notes.
I've just been killing time until we were going to do this.
He's got a personal cache of puns, of music puns, just locked. So there's like a whole separate display, a whole separate monitor full of them.
It's a list of cool things to say.
Right. Stock tickers for normal people, but for me, emo puns over on the side.
So emo pun ticker.
We're going to do this. We're going to do this.
We're doing it up. So for anyone who is listening to this podcast, anything for the first time, welcome. We were just live with two of the three band accounts, Yellow Card and Story of the Year. Never done that from Story of the Year. Because tonight on this Star Wars podcast, we're going to talk about Star Wars, but we mainly are going to talk about kind of what brought us together, what it's like to be musicians, you know, late in the career doing other things and having a resurgence of our band, feeling the resurgence of the thing we love most outside of music, which is Star Wars. And Mike, you kind of like pitched the idea earlier today, first via text, and I was like, yeah, okay. But then we talked and you made some great points about how these things are related. And we talk a little bit about how they're related here and there, but you made a kind of convincing pitch. So you want to open the podcast with a little bit of that?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Thank the Maker. This is your host, Mike Forrester. You know, I think for me, as someone who joined the podcast later, but through obviously a very strong connection to all of y'all's music, I think we're really in this renaissance of our generation finding all these things that we love never really went away. They actually are coming back more supported than ever.
No one's ever really gone.
No one's ever really gone, right?
First connection, first point goes to Adam.
Nailed it. <That's right. laughs>
But I'm looking at this weekend and I'm looking at Mosh Eisley and I'm looking at all of these things and this community that's been built, all because Adam, you and Ryan both started a podcast of something that you love. And then Nick joins, makes it even better. And then here we are. You guys just had an amazing weekend as musicians. Adam, you're about to go back on tour. You're putting out amazing music. We're getting amazing Star Wars content right now. It kind of feels like we're almost like due for a reintroduction of exactly like what this show is about and why it's actually the best time, I feel like, to be a fan of all the things that we love. Yeah?
I fully agree.
Excellent.
That's why I'm here.
In songwriting, this episode is called a reintro.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something so special about the kind of experiences that we've had that have come out of this podcast and the experiences we've been having as musicians. You know, you talked about when we were young, doing that last year was insane. It just like the number of people that showed up, the number of bands that were on the bill, all of it. And we also had a Mosh Eisley event the second weekend, right? Of when we were young last year.
Yes.
Because it was Halloween weekend. So we had the Star Wars emo night at the biggest festival that our scene has ever had. I mean, like, for anyone who wasn't there, you've seen the pictures, but to be there.
I mean, there's 55, 60,000 people, I think, right?
Yeah.
55, 60,000 people is the number?
Yes. I mean, insane. Massive stages. Like, nothing I've ever seen in an American festival. It was more like the kind of thing you see in the UK or something, like Download or something like that. Closer to that, I would say, right? Mm-hmm. Ryan, you've done that?
I don't know what to say. I on stage, to be honest, I couldn't really get a gauge. So it actually wasn't overwhelming from the stage in a way of like, oh my God, look how many people are here. There, I mean, obviously it was wild how many people were there. But until I saw the drone footage, When We Were Young did a post just for us, which was really cool, during Ocean Avenue on Sunday. And so they had their, you know, social media people edit together a quick video that they shot with this drone footage. And when that sucker went up and like backed away from the whole crowd while we were playing, that's actually when I was like breathless, like, you know, just did not understand the scope of what we were doing.
Yeah. It's unreal.
I was in the zone, you know, I'm trying to play, I'm trying to sing well, you know what I mean? So I was like, whoa, this is crazy. There's so many freaking people here. But then after the show, when I saw that footage, I was completely overwhelmed. I mean, I can't believe, you know, that I can't believe it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's
you were shook, as the kids say.
You know, we've done Warped Tour for 20 some years, and this is just that times 30. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
I just think that, you know, I think we all obviously are part of the same scene, but we have had similar or parallel careers in a sense. And we don't get to play a lot of festivals, you know, like it's the festival thing for Bayside is becoming a thing now because of When We Were Young, because of Riot Fest, because of Is for Lovers. So they all vary in size, but nothing at all compares to When We Were Young. And I think there's probably very few festivals, any genre wise in America, that need that like secondary sound system, because there's so many people that there's a sound delay because you're so far away from the main stage. And when we are Young has that. The only other one that I've played was in was Louder Than Life in Kentucky, because that has like the Red Hot Chili Peppers on it. You know, like there's also 50,000 people at some of those bigger active rock ones. So last year, you know, just to keep talking about the festival a little bit, we were so happy to play last year. We had such a great show. And we all left stage and that weekend. Really, the best word that we used last year, and I continue to use it this year, is validation. Like it really, When We Were Young validates everything that we've all done as far as our careers, being a part of people's lives for this long, continuing to be a part of people's lives. But it also validates punk rock and emo and hardcore and the entire scene. Like you could like hair metal, you could like grunge. Those are very specific moments in times that kind of are a blip. You know, there was no scene behind those things that you could count on. Like our world was built upon the Ramones and Green Day and Blink-182 and stuff like that. Like it keeps changing every few years. And, you know, now it's Turnstiles game, you know, like that's just how this goes. You can't say that about a grunge band or a hair metal band or any other like big blip, in time and music. So that's something that we have to be proud of. And, last year when we played, and I felt it this year, even though we weren't playing, hanging out with you guys, to see that many people there, kind of dressing up and reliving a lot of their youth, but also like being very free about reliving their youth, like being happy to be reliving their youth in a non-ironic way, I think is very, very validating for our like entire genre.
For sure. And like the moment I was going to reference, I can't remember if I mentioned this on the podcast last year or not, but you and I, Nick, had this moment when we were watching Paramore. We were at the back of the VIP section, which is VIP section. You think of a bar, right? It's like 100 square feet. The VIP section here was like, I don't know, 20,000 people, you know, like the whole front, you pay an extra however much.
That's how many bands were playing though. 20,000 people playing in these bands, right?
These two massive stages, and we're at the back of it. We're kind of by the soundboard. So we could not only see like the spectacle of what these bands were doing, these like former Warped Tour scene bands were doing this big spectacle of a show, but we could see this giant crowd in front of us and then this giant crowd behind us that we couldn't see the end of, you know? So we're watching it and Paramore is just bigger and better than they've ever been, you know, sounding incredible, having all this amazing production. They've had these additional musicians and we kind of looked at each other thinking the same thing at the same time and starting to say the same thing at the same time. And essentially the exchange was, can you believe this? I mean, this is us. Like this, we're not the ones on stage, but this scene is us. Like we are here because this scene is now at this level where Paramore's playing and it's like we're watching Phil Collins or something. Like level is just like a like global level.
I mean, talk about stepping up to the plate, you know? Like you know, like Mike Hem offered something different. And something I felt this year too, I mean, just to piggyback off of what you're saying. I mean, Mike Hem and Paramore, I think either you and I or me, maybe some guys on the bass side, we were like, these are the cream of the crop. They are the best of the best. I'm happy that they're the headliners of the first year of this thing that if you remember when it was announced, people actually didn't believe that it was real. There was actual fake news, you know?
We all thought it was going to be like the emo hardcore pop punk fire festival. Everyone thought that.
And people were making TikToks about it. So I got very defensive because I know that it was real, you know? Like I know the people, you know, Andy from Chain Reaction, where we did our first Mosh Eisley is a part of it, you know, like Adam, I believe one of your managers is a part of it. So like I got very defensive right away, but last year I really felt this kind of crazy, like, I am so happy that Paramore and Mike Hem exist. They bring two different things to the table. And something I felt while watching Blink this year was something I felt watching Mike Hem last year. Both of those bands have not been around as like currently constituted for what, a decade, something like that. Like Mike, when's the last time Tom was in, do you know, like it was in Blink?
He left, how long he left been? Like officially in, you know, 2012.
Okay, so let's say at least a decade for both Mike Hem and Blink. In that time, younger kids got into Blink and Mike Hem. And for the first time ever last year and for the first time ever this year, kids saw their favorite band. Like that blows my mind and makes me so happy. And the feeling of that happiness is like so palpable at the festival. And that I can't like thank the festival enough for doing that. Because up until When We Were Young existed, Riot Fest was my favorite festival because it kind of like blends a lot of like, we would have never played with No Doubt or the Foo Fighters or System of a Down if it wasn't for Riot Fest. But that's where like those worlds get melded, just like the kind of alternative rock world at Riot Fest. And I still love Riot Fest, but When We Were Young is like very strictly our scene. And to see it be, I don't know, double the size of what Riot Fest is it's just impressive.
And the thing that Mike mentioned earlier about, you know, people or whoever said it, being, you know, dressing up in the scene, feeling the nostalgia, feeling young again, just like the name of the festival suggests, you know, when we were young, and being completely unapologetic about it and just like going for it and fully living it is so much like having a con experience, whether it's at Celebration, you know, if it's just Star Wars for you or any of the comic cons, you know, anything else, you know, seeing the kind of like absolutely unapologetic, you know, costuming and everything else, people just being their truest selves is absolutely analogous to the way it seemed like people experienced this festival. So you look around and you see an endless sea of people. We were just in New York for New York Comic Con for Mosh Eisley, and it was just like that, you know, but you're seeing, you know, giant swords and instead of, you know, instead of signs for bands that say, Tom, beam me up or whatever.
Bringing this back to Star Wars a little bit, because I wanted like, be conscious of bringing it back to Star Wars, but our first experience as podcasters, not necessarily band members, where we were having people come up to us saying they like the podcast and not our bands necessarily, was Celebration last year, 2022, was it? Right?
Yep.
2023.
In Anaheim.
Anaheim, whichever year that was. I don't know years anymore. I don't subscribe to time anymore. Yeah, I mean, we were, all the three of us were walking around the convention center in Anaheim, and a handful of people came up to us in the first hour and were like, hey guys, love the podcast, you know? And it's just like, we're not Adam from Story, Ryan from Yellow Card, Nick from Bayside anymore. At that point, at like 11 a.m. on a Friday, we were Thank the Maker. And besides Mosh Eisley, you know, Thank the Maker has brought a lot of just like new, fresh ideas to my life. Because Bayside is my life, being a musician is my life. I've been playing music professionally, touring since I was 17, and I'm 43 now, and it feels amazing to be like a part of this family, Mosh Eisley, all this stuff, because it is so hard to create something or start something, I should say, that gets legs, you know? And mm-hmm. I think when we started this, you know, you guys started the podcast, I jumped on fairly early. We leaned on the band guy part of it a lot more, you know, like we had band guy guests on. And then we realized after a while, we just didn't need it. We were a Star Wars podcast. Well, we weren't a music Star Wars podcast.
I think one of the coolest early occurrences with the podcast was realizing that while we were super lucky to have, you know, John Feldman and so many
Mike Herrera.
We had Ashi from Beartooth, so many guys from the scene. But I think we did realize pretty quickly that what we actually wanted to do was do a Star Wars podcast, and that it was working, and that the episodes that did not have guests and like band guests on were actually performing better. More people were listening to the episodes that we started to have get legs and feel a little more comfortable just talking Star Wars. I think that was the coolest. I mean, Adam and I talked about that early on, just like, isn't it going to be cool if someday this isn't about the bands anymore, and we actually just become like a bona fide Star Wars podcast? And I think we maybe thought it wouldn't happen. You know, I think we thought like that's a tall mountain to climb. But I remember when we started to realize like, oh yeah, this doesn't need to be about, when we were young, the scene anymore with the podcast. We have stepped out on our own and become a Star Wars podcast. But I think it's sick how it still circles back into the scene all the time. You know, I mean, it's, we're connected to our friends and to the music, and everyone, like everyone knows about our pod, everyone in the scene knows about our podcast. You know, everyone knows about it. And I think that is just so rad that you can be walking around at something like when we were young, and it's like, oh, there's Ryan from Yellow Card, nerd. You know what I mean? Like in a good way. Yeah.
There's your lightsaber geek.
And I love that, like, I've been able to expose this side of me to the world via this podcast. I think people always knew I liked Star Wars, right? Like, people knew the singer of Yellow Card liked Star Wars, but no one knew I liked it enough to like get custom casted helmets painted hanging on my wall, like, you know, and like statues of Yoda, cosplaying. Like, no one knew that was the level of my fandom for this. And so the podcast has allowed me, you know, if we want to try to kind of walk the line about the music and the podcast coexisting, one of my favorite things on this journey has been sharing my fandom, my love of Star Wars, my sort of my ability to let my walls down and just be myself with fans. I think, I hope that it's inspired people, whether they love Star Wars or music or whatever they're into, to see someone that maybe they look up to, someone they listen to, music they've been listening to for 15, 20 years of their life. They see me dress up in a Star Wars costume and spinning a lightsaber around at 43 years old. And hopefully someone else goes, you know, fuck it. I can do what I want. I can be who I want. I can stop worrying about what other people think about me. And I think that's been something that, to those of you listening, like, that's something I struggle with every day still, was trying not to be concerned with what other people think of me and my choices and who I am. And, you know, I that is a like a meditative technique I have to put into practice to like not do that. It used to be one of the most crippling mental health struggles for me in my life. 20 years ago, it was. Made a lot of really stupid decisions and had a lot of bad attitude issues because of how overwhelmed I was with what other people thought about me. This podcast has been essential in my growth as a human being, learning how to expose who I really am and not care, and just love life and love Star Wars. Star Wars is such a huge part of my life. I am proud to wear it And I am pumped that I've gotten to cosplay on my Instagram. You know, like that's like so sick. And I love that people get to see that side of me. And if we hadn't started this podcast, I don't think I ever would have gotten to this place.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We've talked to a ton of fans of our bands who we've gotten to connect with because of, you know, the intersection of Star Wars and our music. And I've mentioned this before, how a lot of times it can be awkward talking to a fan or being a fan of something and talking to someone who, you know, whether they're an actor or another band or anything, because it's very one-sided. And it's not because you feel like better than the person or anything, or you don't feel disconnected for any specific reason, but it's just, it's hard to get over that hump and connect in a way that isn't, I like you, what do you want to talk about? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you want, you know, people say, I love your band and so on. And you say, thank you. And where do you go from there? You know, but with Star Wars, like the, you know, thinking of our patrons specifically, I know that many of the patrons are fans of our bands, but I don't know that they all are. And I don't care because we're here to hang and talk about Star Wars. And if they happen to be fans of the band, sick. That's cool. Like, we get to hang and talk, and it's cool for them, it's cool for us, and we connect on this level that is created by something like Star Wars and this fandom leveling things. It creates that, you know, it's the, what do they call it? The great equalizer, you know, in a way for us. I mean, Mike, we've told the story a few times, how you and I met mm-hmm. by you being a teenage fan at a Story of the Year concert, and I gave you a beer. I had no idea you weren't 21.
Yeah, underage drinking. I remember the story.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yep.
And here we
are. Think the Maker, a criminal podcast.
And it's, you know, we're like super close friends now. We have this thing together, and it's awesome. Before I throw this to any of you guys, people in the chat, in the Discord, the patron chat, were any of you not necessarily huge Star Wars fans, or had it been kind of dormant for a while and finding out about this podcast via our bands, did that reignite it for you, or did it elevate it in a way? Just kind of tell us here, and then Mike, maybe take it from here and talk about your experience on the other end of this thing that I've been describing.
I mean, you got to think about it from this perspective. Like, let's look at it from like my era, and I'm just a couple years younger than you guys, but like my era of music was like, you know, Enema of the State comes out in 1999. Take Off Your Pants and Jacket comes out in 2001. You know, we have Insomniac. We have, you know, we have Page Avenue rolls out a couple of years later. We have Ocean Avenue. We've got like, there's so much Riot comes out, right? Like there's so that those are, in my opinion, like those were the defining eras of this genre of music that really stood out as, now the, you know, Alice in Chains and all that kind of the, you know, that era is kind of over. The late 90s rock, the TRL rock, right? Like, what a beautiful time where Korn, Limp Bizkit, Blink-182, Christina Aguilera, the Backstreet Boys could duke it out every day, according to whoever Carson Daly said was going to be the top video in America. But what I'm looking at is also simultaneously at the same time, dude, Star Wars was so well known, but it wasn't cool to necessarily be a super fan of Star Wars for high schoolers like myself, who that's who your music was all aimed towards, right? And you have this like, who, you know, all my friends, I went to a private school, so all my friends are a bunch of, you know, Jimmy Buffett, like let's go, Dave Matthews Band. That's just, I hated that stuff. That stuff sucked, right? I'd go see Newfound Glory.
Still does.
It still does, right? And I'd go get punched in the mosh pit of a used concert because I was like, this seems cool. I got punched and then immediately picked up by the largest man I've ever met. And all of these, I'm like, this is my thing, right? Like coming back with a torn shirt was like, that's a sign that I had an amazing night. And my other friends did not understand it, right? And then I'm also at the same time having to have a very, very, very low key conversation with someone to be like, do you want to go see Star Wars with me at midnight? Because Anakin Skywalker is going to turn into Darth Vader, right? If you're a jock in 2005, that wasn't cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're kind of in this era of like, we were suppressing this, these big emotions. Anakin Skywalker is the biggest emo in Star Wars. Like, then we go into this drought after where Star Wars and scene music and crunk rock or whatever the hell came after that, right? It just got weird, right? For a lot of us, right? Then things start falling off. Clone Wars happens, which isn't really a commercial success for most people because they're not going to follow along with it. The mid 2010s was like a drought for everything, right?
Yeah.
People forgot that a lot of you guys were still going on tour, trying to change your sound. Ryan, Yellow Card is like done, right? At that time.
Yeah. We're writing like Smashing Pumpkins 90s alternative, like mid-tempo rock records.
Right.
Totally just left the building.
And
at that point,
for a lot of us, then we come into, then 2015 happens, Force Awakens comes back out. All of a sudden, we don't care what we do as adults because Star Wars is back.
Yeah.
Suddenly everybody is a fan of Star Wars again, reigniting all the stuff that we loved about it. But we're older and we simultaneously are also losing our shits to give about everything because we're getting older, right? Now we're getting towards where we are now. COVID happens. All of a sudden people are like, you know what? I love all this stuff. I love all of these old records that I'm spinning and going back to. Blink-182 announces that they're getting back together with the guy from Alkaline Trio. People are like, what's going on? All this stuff happens. And then they announce We Were Young Festival. The Riot Fest, Yellow Card is back. Ryan, you guys have never sounded better. Adam, you invite me to help work on the album. Tear Me to Pieces is like one of my favorite records next to Page Avenue. Nick, you guys are writing the best music of your careers right now. And Star Wars is better than ever right now.
Best time to be a fan ever.
The content to be a fan of Star Wars and to be a fan of like this renaissance of untethered, unadulterated, completely in their own emo music, fans of pop punk, all of this stuff. Dude, it's the best time right now. That's it. You know what I mean? Because you can go and travel to do these things. You can go and be who you want to be. And people actually accept it in a completely different way than they did in 2005, which was barely, or you had to find those people in a much different way than you can now. And the internet has helped us connect with so many people. And that's part of what made this whole thing just make sense for me personally as a fan.
Yeah. I was going to say social media and the internet. I mean, I know the internet was around in 2005, but social media wasn't necessarily. And I do think with all the bad things that come with social media, if you're a good person and you do actually want to find community, and a good community, it's there now. And I think that has really led to us obviously starting a podcast, but then finding this, like, what I think we all think is a niche, like emo Star Wars crossover. But what I think is happening with our podcast and then now with Mosh Eisley and all this stuff is if you are kind of on the outskirts of finding a community or looking for a community or looking for somewhere to fit in, and you see that it exists already on the internet, you're golden. You just got to, buy a ticket to Mosh Eisley. You got to start listening to Thank the Maker. Like it is that simple now when it wasn't really in 2005, you know?
Yeah, dude, I just had the thought the other day that when, you know, my first Star Wars fandom resurgence was the prequels. You know, by the time Revenge of the Sith was dropping, I was 25. So I was like fully back in. Story of the Year was making enough money that I could just blow it on every piece of merchandise that was available. I was so fully back into it. But I only had a couple friends that were into it. And it was friends from high school. But none of us were like deep. Like we were super enthusiastic, but we weren't like building armor.
Same.
You know, we weren't costuming. Same. We weren't doing that level stuff. So it wasn't until this, you know, this era and this podcast that really brought it up another notch. And Ryan, like we told the story a million times, told it at the beginning of this, we weren't friends. Like all those years that we, you know, we're in the same space or, you know, we're playing the same shows, we knew each other, but we had this weird unspoken rivalry, and we didn't become friends until we connected on Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And it just all went from there, you know? And here we are now as a group doing a Star Wars themed emo night. We're costuming, we're going to cons, we're, you know, going on like essentially LARPing experiences at Disney with all this like next level stuff. And it's because of community.
I was going to echo what Nick said too. It's like everyone that knows this show and knows me at all knows that I am not a fan of social media and what it's doing to the planet Earth and the human race. But I will say that I think one thing that, as you pointed out, Nick, that's positive is good people find each other. And Mike, you made a funny point about, like, you know, if you're a jock in 2005, you're not going to go see Revenge of the Sith, you know? And I think it's either that those people now, as you maybe alluded to, feel more comfortable coming out of their shell a little bit. Or, and I think this may be more likely, there's actually more of us. Mm-hmm. There's more of us. And I think cons providing a space for people, I think Disney acquiring IP like Marvel and Star Wars, and come on, haters, I'm listening. I can hear you. Whatever you want to say about it, them being able to throw that amount of money behind intellectual property that inspires people to be creative and costume and follow these fantastical stories that we've loved since we were kids. It just makes it bigger. It just brings people out of the woodwork that say, I've always been afraid to tell everyone I love this, but now Guardians of the Galaxy is the coolest f-ing movie on, you know, in theaters. I've always wanted to dress up like Obi-Wan Kenobi for Halloween, but like my friends wouldn't think it's cool. Well, now I can just go to a place where everyone's dressed up like Obi-Wan Kenobi and you can find that. And like, I really think people are, I think that like, there's no less cliche way to say it. I just think there's more nerds than not nerds.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, because that goes like the idea of the high school hierarchy, right? And like that sort of elitism that exists, right? They're the people at the top of the food chain in high school and in early adulthood, there's fewer of them. That's mm-hmm. that's the point, right? They're the most popular ones there at the top of the pyramid. Well, what about everybody else at the bottom of the rungs of the ladder and the pyramid? Well, hey guys, that's us. We're the nerds. We're the people who are passionate about being creative and you know, filmmaking and songwriting and stories and costumes and sci-fi. Like there are a lot of us. And I think this is just circling back to, I hate social media, but I think that one good thing it has done is it has exposed to the world that nerds outnumber everyone else. And it's really like, we're really coming into our own right now. Like that's the whole idea of it being the best time to be a fan of Star Wars. Why is that? Well, because there's more of us behind it, because you can go make a live action season 5 of an animated series based on one character who was only in like 7 episodes of the animated series. And it's the highest rated premiere of any series they've done yet. Like that is intense. Ahsoka, the whole thing that happened with Ahsoka just now is intense. As far as how many people it exposed love this shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, just kind of back to what I said earlier, you know, my experience going to Celebration for the first time and, you know, going to cons. I mean, shit, I'm trying to get into hosting cons, like from stage with a microphone. I'm really attracted to the con experience and being a part of it and getting more involved with it, bringing the podcast along in any way that we can, you know, it's been life-changing. So, I'm just pumped to be a part of the community and again, pumped to be able to share this side of me outside of like the rock and roll singer that people, you know, have known me to be, that don't know me personally, right? Like that's who I've been for 20 years. It's been really cool to just share a different side of my personality and my passion.
How many people when you guys, Nick, like I'm asking in regards to all three of you, because you guys go out and you meet by default way more people than most of us do who don't travel for work, right? How many people since you guys have started this podcast on a tour, let's just say in general, like mention the podcast or say that they're listeners or maybe people that surprised you that were like, dude, you guys are into it. Like, that's awesome.
A lot of people say that first. And I think it is that, like, you know, that commonality, the, you know, it's like an easy conversation starter and they know we'll be pumped. But I don't necessarily think that skews the data too much. You know what I mean? I think there are a lot. And like literally every person that said hello to me that said, oh, Adam from Story of the Year, said they were a podcast listener at when we were young this past weekend. It was crazy.
Well, they probably think they, you know, feel that they know you more because of the podcast. You know, they feel comfortable. They know that you're not going to rip their head off. Be like, what do you mean I'm Adam from Story of the Year. You can say hi to me. You know, like they know us now. I mean,
Adam put those vibes off for sure.
He's an asshole.
One thing I wanted to make a point about what Ryan was saying about, you know, just being a nerd in high school and stuff like that. You know, who was also nerds? Musicians. Like we weren't like cool rock band people playing music and playing the cello and tuba in band, you know, like we kind of just had this mentality where you like hyper focus on things, and to be a musician you have to hyper focus on your instrument, and that also lends itself, I think, to that nerdy lifestyle of like in comic books and video games and Star Wars and stuff like that. So we were just we were in it. Once we realized we were like into musicians or any nerdy things, it's just you feel it's such a this shitty weight of the world of like, I love this thing and I can't fully you know, outwardly acknowledge that I do. And then you know, I think again a positive thing that social media has happened has helped with is that community, like I said. I heard something on another podcast today. Someone said something like 25% of humans have social media, so like really keep that in mind when you're on you know, on the internet thinking that like everyone in the world hates something, you know, like it's just not even representative of even a quarter of humanity. Right. So, you know, I think that a compliment that was given on behalf of the podcast to me recently in the last year or two was kind of this inadvertent thing that I really became proud of, because I had a dude, like probably a little younger than me, but definitely in his 30s, say that listening to us talk about Star Wars and talk about our feelings about Star Wars and how we like can be critical but positive really helped him shape how he now sees Star Wars. And I'm sure he's not the only one. And that's not something we set out to do, but that is kind of a, you know, something that has happened. And I think that that made me like so happy and proud that as much as you could go on Twitter and The Last Jedi is probably still trending right now, you know, like like people are still talking shit. We have our own little world here that I think is a lot more actually in tune with fandom. You know, it's just that not everyone has social media, and algorithms we talk about all the time, algorithms don't reward positivity. They just don't.
Yeah.
So the negative stuff is going to obviously always win.
And that's not a place as fans that we started in per se. It's not even where this podcast started per se. Like we definitely were never toxic, but we started in a different place. Like the first few episodes we had a segment called Disturbances in the Force, where we kind of like aired gripes, things that we didn't like about the movies. But we pretty quickly realized that we were just participating, even if in a small way, participating in that negative feedback loop and feeding that algorithm, and that nothing good was going to come of it. And then if anyone was going to seek out a Star Wars podcast, it's not because they don't like Star Wars. It's because they love, or anything for that matter, it's because they love something so much that they want to hear more. They want to hear people who love it as much talk about it. They want to be part of the conversation in some sense. So we learned that through this and through this community and through being in that, like, you know, in the like the washing machine tumble cycle of like the internet, you know what I mean? And realizing, oh, at some point you have to get out of this and put out a different vibe. And then that feedback loop becomes nothing but like a happiness elevating machine. So yeah, I will get into it with people, but I don't feel like we stand on any moral or ethical high ground by behaving differently.
Nice.
I'm just,
that was a nice one.
See, it's just in there. It just comes
out. Adam, two points.
Nice. Very nice.
But it, but it is something that I feel like we know and we understand and we've learned through this. So it became part of kind of our mission statement as fans in this community. Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad, all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts. They do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is there a sense for you guys in, you've all made new music within the past 2 years that's been great and it's been received very well. I'm kind of the outsider in this group as a former musician. I never toured or did anything like that, but like for me as a graphic designer, I've been a career graphic designer for 20 years, right? And until I did Hondo Supply, you're like, I'm just a graphic designer. Like, mm-hmm. Join Instagram. It's like, congratulate. Here's a million other people out here, right? And until I did Hondo Supply, and then eventually would turn into Mosh Eisley, like the support from the community to make me fuel my creativity of like feeling like what we're doing matters, right? Versus like, you guys are professional musicians. You put out music. There's this natural inclination for people to go, I'm going to compare it to what I remember that I like, right? Nick, you've talked about this a lot about writing music that like people need to hear versus you giving music that they think they want to hear. What has that been like for you guys to go off in this adventure of starting Star Wars brand, starting Star Wars podcast, and have it be supported with such enthusiasm of a community that has literally given you real-time feedback that like what you guys are doing is rad? Just like music.
It's an alien feeling.
Yeah.
To basically have every single person that says something about something you're doing creatively, it be a positive comment.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it's bizarre.
The negative comments that we've gotten for Thank the Maker are so few that they're like etched in stone as these legendary comments that we joke about all the time. And yeah. they come from like the earliest days of the podcast. Like,
we got to get that going again, man.
It's funny because you know what I mean? It's yeah. like,
we need hot takes.
We always go back to the same like three negative comments because,
yeah,
because it's been so overwhelmingly positive. It's an alien feeling. Because you put out music and it doesn't matter, dude. If you have success with a thing early in your career, enjoy that because it will never feel like that again.
Yeah, fact. That's
everything you do after that will be, there will be enough people in the room. I know we talk about this in Star Wars all the time that the negative comments get a lot of focus because there are less of them and they're sort of the loudest people in the room. And that's true as well in music. But it's always going to be enough that you notice it. You know what I mean? It's always going to be enough to where you're like, it's hard not to see people just shitting all over this thing that you have poured your heart and soul into. And that first one that you did that was amazing, that blew up. I mean, like, you know, Yellow Card, for example, totally unexpectedly made a double platinum record and won a video music award and toured all over the world and were signed to a major label. We were a garage band. It was surreal that happened for us. But there wasn't like a megaphone for people that didn't like it back then, I guess, as much as there is now. But either way, everything we've done from that moment on has had to live up to that. It's had to be that experience in some way for fans. And so you're going to notice more, you know, the people that want to tear it down. And I will say, though, and I think I touched on this a little bit earlier, just on my own like personal journey, it's a really cool thing though, when you can start to realize as you get older and you mature that those people don't fucking matter, that that those opinions don't matter, and that there are so many more people that are excited about what you're doing. It's your own struggle. It's your own shit that you're dealing with, that you're holding on to the past. You're holding on to Ocean Avenue. You're holding on to those songs and that record. And why can't it be like that again? And why don't you like this new thing I'm trying? That's your, you got to work that out, dude.
Listen to Kylo Ren.
It's not your, you can't control how, what other people, I'm getting to a point with this, I swear, but you can't control what other people are going to think about the art you're creating. And you have to reach that crossroad on your own and decide which way you're going to go. If you're going to continue to live in the past, if you're going to continue to focus on the negativity. But all I'm trying to say is with music and my experience in a band, there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of people that don't like what you do because it's not the first thing you ever did.
Yeah.
That's the thing. With Thank the Maker, it is just happy people. It is just good vibes. It is people going, I totally got out of Star Wars and you guys got me back into it. It is people going, everyone in Star Wars, in the Star Wars fandom is toxic and does all these, you know, all these terrible things to the actors and writers and creators and says all the worst imaginable. And you guys just support and you love and you nurture the fan base and the community. Like that's been our experience. And so it is pretty foreign to not have to like, make a conscious choice to say, you know what? I see that negative comment, but I'm gonna let it pass by. Yep. We don't have to do that with Thank the Maker. We can just be and just love sharing these experiences with each other, you know?
It's a beautiful thing.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, I feel like in a way, like you guys, both Store and Yellow Card had a way different 20 years ago than Bayside did. Our most negative feedback time, Bayside-wise, career-wise, was when we were the smallest. Like, per capita, we probably had more haters in 2004, 5, 6 than we do now. Right now, our comment sections, definitely. Our comment sections are like Thank the Maker comment sections. You, like, cannot, if we release a new song, it's like the old adage, like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. It's absolutely wild, like, our fans support us. And then if there is one comment, there's 20 comments telling them to fuck off from like people having our back.
By the way, Nick, right now, ours is very much like that too.
Yeah,
like
it's good.
This current journey we're on is unlike any we've ever experienced. Yeah, so I'm not trying to say that it's, you know.
But we've all had the dark times.
I hope it was clear that I was saying there always has been more positivity than negativity. We three have had to deal with it on a noticeable level in our in our musical career, the negativity. Whereas with this, it's just been good vibes all the way through.
And having had that experience and being artists and being, you know, being on the creative side of things or being on the production side of things, even outside of music, like we have a little better understanding, a little better insight into what it's like to be on the creative side or the production side of other creative industries like filmmaking and you know, making television. So seeing the haters of new Star Wars from this perspective, from, you know, this more insightful vantage point, I think gives us, like, I'm not trying to say our opinions are any more important, but I think they are more informed than a lot of others out there. And I think that can be valuable. And again, I'm not trying to like talk our shit up, but I like to be an informed voice of positivity, and I think our podcast is a rare case of that.
And that's the last time we're going to be positive.
For instance, we know Kathleen Kennedy is not writing the next season of The Mandalorian currently.
Yeah, she doesn't have horns or hoof feet. She isn't trying to eat any babies or anything.
Right.
That is an informed piece of knowledge.
Is there a parallel of... Nick, your band's situation is different because you guys were on a different climb than these two guys. But like, is there a parallel of people listening to a record, a popular record, and also watching Star Wars, an old movie, and remembering like that things felt different, simpler to... the idea for that people are, because this was always kind of my defense too, is like, I would, you know, when I I posted that, oh, hey, I work for, you know, did some work with Story of the Year. And people are like, oh, I can't believe this band is back. And I'm like, dude, I've been there the whole time. They've been touring. You just like forgot about them. But is there a parallel of the way that people listen to new music now, the same way that they accept or don't accept new Star Wars, the same way that they accept new music from a band and an album that felt different to them, just like movies felt different to them back then? Ryan, you have your hand up. Yes, actually, William Ryan Key, we'd love to hear from you on this topic.
Mr. Key in the back there?
Yes.
Roll the music.
Thank you very much. We've had a great night tonight with all of you. What a podcast.
Yes, of course. Mike, you have just laid out the perfect parallel for what I was sort of talking about with making new music and new Star Wars. That's exactly what it is. I think it's just an inability to truly have an open mind and understand that that creative intellectual property is not being created for you. It's being created for all those that will watch or listen. The person that is making it is giving a little piece of themselves to the world. And if it's not what you want it to be, we live in a different time now and you have a place to tell us all. But even though you can tell us that it's not what you want it to be, it doesn't change the fact that they didn't make it for you. They made it because they love it and they're passionate about it. And I like the parallel that I think I bring up on the show all the time that I try to remember when I find something in Star Wars that maybe doesn't jive with me, that, you know, I went to a movie theater. I don't remember it necessarily, but I went to a movie theater in 1983 when I was 3 years old to see Return of the Jedi. All I know is, whether I remember it or not, do you think I was fucking stoked on the Ewoks? Do you think I was? Because I'm sure that I was. And every time I get to that place where I might be like, why is it? You know, I just remember, like, there's three-year-olds everywhere that can watch Star Wars. It's for them too.
Eight-year-olds, dude.
You know, and that's how we tie the room together. You know, we're all in it together. And it's like, I think people refuse to, you know, let go of this notion that this is theirs. It belongs to them, when it doesn't. It belongs to all of us. And instead of just writing it off because of something that didn't work for you, maybe try to find something in it that did work for you, because that's going to help you just live a better life. Your blood pressure is going to be lower. You're going to be a happier human being if you find things you like instead of things you don't like in everything you look at and everything you listen to. So yeah, I think people want, you know, original trilogy or die, because they feel like that's theirs and they own it. And it's really hard for people to get past that. And I'm saying all of this from a place of personal experience, someone who is consciously and actively working every day to get past those types of mindsets for myself. You have to put in the work, though. You have to be willing to do it.
You know what another parallel is? Very well put, by the way, Ryan. I think another parallel we have with music and Star Wars / entertainment right now is this knee-jerk reaction based off of, both industries have live analytics of what's going on. You know how many people are watching, how many people have watched, and there is this really almost kind of, I mean, look at Star Cruiser, for instance. You know, it's like we don't let things settle. Like, how many times have we all experienced, either personally or even on the other end of a record coming out that you don't vibe with right away, but you do wind up liking it? It's like there has to be like some sort of patience when liking or listening to something. Like, my least favorite thing that Twitter has brought, or social media, I should say, to the table is the instance where someone could listen to any one of our band songs, listen to it for 30 or 40 seconds, and then go on Twitter and say they don't like it. And then before any other person has heard the song, they might have read that tweet, and then in their head, that song or band is already behind the eight ball. You know, like, they're already being like, oh, my friend didn't like it. When I check it out, I'm going to see if he was right. There's no blank slate. Yeah. You're starting from behind the start line at that point. And that's like, to me, one of the worst things that, you know, probably top three worst things that has happened in the music industry because of social media is exactly that, where like people who aren't music critics, people who aren't critical in a like an actual constructive way, all of a sudden you write, oh, this sucks. I listened to it. They won't admit they listened to it for 30 seconds, but they write off an entire song because 30 seconds of a song or 15 minutes of a Star Wars movie didn't make them feel like they were 12 again. So it sucks. And then maybe that makes someone else who read that tweet not listen to the song for 10 days because they were like, it was negative. I'm not even going to think about it. So, the real-time analytics and the knee-jerk reaction thing is something that I just wish wasn't a thing, you know. Like I know it can't change, but it definitely hinders a lot. I think
there's a legitimate psychological phenomenon called priming. You know, it's one of like many psychological things that are used by, you know, salespeople and psychics, quote psychics, and all, you know, all kinds of people who pull shit over on people. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's done completely in a completely benign way. You don't realize you're doing it, but if you plant a little seed in someone's head, that creates an expectation, or that changes the path that they may go down. It changes even after the fact, you know, like if you go to social media or YouTube or whatever for other reactions on something that you just watched, and maybe you liked it, maybe you didn't love it, maybe you did love it, you can be convinced otherwise. And in some cases, like I've had experiences where I'm like, am I stupid for liking this? Am I just like a sheep for liking this? And it's like we've been saying, like someone else said earlier, you know, the algorithm that favors negativity. So whether that's at the front end before you even hear it or see it, or it's after the fact within, you know, a short enough period of time where you haven't fully formed your opinion, that can completely change a person's experience. Sometimes it's just, you know, changes the way that their entertainment is processed. Sometimes people get completely hosed by like scams and stuff. But in this case, I know I don't want to be a part of that on any level. And that's why I have like pushed so hard since the beginning to try to get away from like any negativity at all. It's not like we act like we like stuff that we don't. We just don't put that negative energy out there. It's not worth our time, and it's
we don't
not
talk
good.
About yeah. the stuff that we don't. And I was just gonna say, like I brought this up when I was ranting a minute ago about how it's up to you, man. It's your journey that you need to fix, you know, yourself. You need to work on yourself. And I would say that. Think back to a time where there wasn't social media and we didn't have a podcast and you didn't like something. You sit around all night with whoever you were with and just do all the stuff we're talking about that people now do in public. You know, I did it. You did it. If you didn't like a movie or a show or a record or something, you would talk shit about it with your friends. And I would say, so my takeaway from myself, you know, and like the path I want to be on, I could wallow in how my disdain of everything Nick just said. And social media. And I mean, I'm with you, dude. Like it could drive me to a terrible place mentally to like live in that headspace. But I don't even do the thing that I used to do pre-social media anymore. I don't sit around with anyone and talk crap about anything because I think that the negativity in social media and whatever, and the current, again, like the path I'm on, the journey I'm on, the work I'm trying to do, that level of negativity has made me a more positive person. I've taken all that negativity and tried to go, wow, I can feel how much I don't like that. I don't want to be a part of that at all. I don't want that in my life, from not just from those people and those trolls online. I don't want to do it. And it's gotten to a point now where it's subconscious. I can't remember the last time I sat around with someone and talked about something I didn't like. It's just like not a part of my life or my routine anymore. And so again, as much as I hate social media.
Star Cruiser closing. That's how much that's what we talked about. That was the last time we were very upset.
But we were talking about it with like passion and love for Star Cruiser. We weren't.
Yeah, we were mourning a loss. Yeah.
Yes. And so I would say, you know, thank you, social media, because it's such a hellscape. It's such a terrible part of the human experience that it's made me a better person. You know, I'm trying to find that sort of outlook in life. And this podcast and the way we talk about Star Wars, all I'm trying to say has, I think, truly enhanced my experience as a human being, because I've learned how to only concentrate on the things that make me feel good and let the things that make me feel bad just slip on by.
It's like a merry-go-round. You know, you put the quarter in the ride. Ride goes up and down and around, circular, circle.
Always
harness
always
good,
moving.
Block bad. Harness good, block bad.
Right.
Thank you to anyone who got that quote.
Put the ball in the hole. You guys have all had the pleasure of DJing an emo night and now a Mosh Eisley.
Yup.
Mm-hmm.
It's tight.
I watched the video of you guys doing the emo night at the bowling alley or whatever it was this weekend.
It was sick.
And I was like, that looks sick. But you know what would have made that so much better?
Lightsabers.
So many lightsabers. So what can you guys say is like the difference of, you guys have all done this. You've experienced it. Ryan, you had your first Mosh Eisley experience. Like, and then of course we're getting the pictures now, which are amazing. And there's so many great photos. But like, what has been the biggest difference for you guys when you do these, like, granted, similar events, but there's one with just some massive twists. The fact that you're all massive Star Wars fans and in the crowd is other massive Star Wars fans. What is the difference for you seeing that?
Pick me.
Oh, yeah, sure. Hi, Nick. Yeah, Nick. I'm Battle Droid. Go ahead.
Immediately envisioning like the Wonder Woman 84 Pedro Pascal meme, like life is good, but it can be better. Like emo night is good, but it can be better. You can upgrade and cosplay as or any sort of Star Wars character and have lightsabers. So it's not for everyone, but the people who get to like multiply emo music and Star Wars have the best night. And Mosh Eisley, February 3rd in Orlando. See you there.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Dude, it's like, I love burgers, but French fries, it's a whole other level. You know what I mean? I could eat a really great burger, but if I don't have fries, it's not the same. You know what I mean?
I really want to cosplay full Mando and bring my son in a
in a pram.
In a pram.
Yeah.
Because we have a little like Yoda beanie for him, to take pictures when he's born. Sorry, everyone. I won't be posting those on social media.
He's still going to be wrinkly by then, dude. I don't know if that's safe.
They get remarkably
unwrinkly very quick.
He can't like be in a big crowded place like that.
Yeah.
No, that is smart.
He'll explode, I think.
I would.
But I did when I knew that I could go to the show, I was like, hey, babe, you know what would be amazing is if I did a full Beskar Mando cosplay with Callan in the thing. Like, and she was like, you're not doing that.
Said yes to a lot. This one's a no.
Yeah, right.
Dude, she has been a trooper marrying into this shit.
Yeah.
She has really been amazing.
Yeah. She's a team player. All right, let's wrap this up.
Well, you got to share your experience with both. I mean, you guys have all been emo nights.
Dude, yeah. Emo night's great. Either way, there's that connection, that like nostalgic validation, like you guys have been talking about, of something that we did years ago still mattering, and seeing people, even just listening to it played out of speakers, you know, being there in the room with them, going as hard and having full-blown emotional experiences, it's incredible. So it's incredibly validating. But seeing the intersection of these two fandoms or two types of experiences, you know, the first one in Anaheim was life-changing for me in terms of understanding where we are, where I am, where the community is, and how the things overlap. It was revelatory. In the life-changing sense. You know what I mean? It just like really put things in the focus, made me realize just how special this is, you know, the podcast and everything associated.
If you want to wrap it up, I think you're there, because we started sort of earlier talking about like, this is a niche thing and that, you know, are there more do the nerds outnumber the non-nerds and all that kind of thing. Mosh Eisley to me, because I'm not involved from like a logistics standpoint, you know, I'm not like on the staff, we'll say, but to me, the concept of it, it's actually not like, it doesn't like amaze me that it does what it does, because when you're attaching it to something like Star Wars Celebration or New York Comic Con or whatever it may be, we've now established tonight, we're there. We're all there at Comic Con. The people are there anyways. So you're offering them a fun party to go to. It's convenient that it gets to be Star Wars because they're all at the con. Everyone at the con is the right age and the right place in their life to celebrate this music, just like they all did in Vegas this weekend. And they do at Emo Night Brooklyn or whichever other Emo Night all over the country and all over the world. So to me, it's not like this, like, whoa, that is so crazy that Star Wars works with emo night. I think it's a perfect party to offer people who are already going to be at a Comic-Con experience. And you just get to see how real this crossover is, and not in a way that's like, can you believe it? It's like, it's natural. It feels right. It feels normal. Yeah. It feels like this is a time and a place where we are all celebrating music and you know, fandoms that we love as adults. And like, I guess that was a very long-winded way to say that Mos Eisley has always made like complete sense to me. And I never thought it was going to be this like super unique crossover. I always thought it was going to crush, like offer people at a giant convention with 50,000 people, 100,000 people, a party to go to where they can just stay dressed up from the day. They would all go to emo night anyways.
Yeah.
Is my point.
Yeah.
So it's really an amazing opportunity, like moment in time, I think, to offer, you know, this experience to people, because it really, really works.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up because I have bus call in 24 hours. Going on tour. Oh,
going on tour, sucker.
Yeah.
On the road again.
We're going west of St. Louis. Oklahoma City, I think, is the first one.
I see you soon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
2 weeks, tops.
Is there an Actionville show or it's only West Coast?
We're doing from the Midwest East starting in the first week of January, actually.
Oh, so. Yeah, I will be covered in poo-poo.
Yep. Daddy.
Yep, poop soup. So, and shout out to Zach the Maker, who is taking us on, two of us in my band, on a very special adventure with, I don't want to spoil it because I don't want to talk about it on the podcast, but we're doing some very, it's going to be fun. Hopefully we won't be flying a cargo plane full of rubber duck shit out of Hong Kong. It'll be different. All right.
There it is. He did it.
Patrons, thanks for being here with us. Thanks for supporting us. And thanks for being a part of this amazing community. We love you all. Thanks to my wife for putting up with everything. And thanks to her for actually like pushing so hard to go to when we were young, because I might not have gone if she wasn't so enthusiastic about going. And we had a great time. We hung out with people. I saw Lil Wayne, like from here to the other side of my house, basically, like right there on stage. It was insane.
He's quite Lil.
Yeah. Little Wayne.
That's what that stands for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's short for little.
His stature. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Love you guys. Subscribe, like, everyone, do it.
Do it.
We appreciate it. Also, leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice, because that helps too. And until next week, may the Force be with you. If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.